There we go. All right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back. So I just wanted to start with a little bit of a preamble here. The most difficult part about preparing this morning's class was figuring out some time budgeting and how we're going to fit everything that we need to talk about into the time that we have. And the truth is that at the end, I actually threw up my hands and decided there was no hope but to divide it into at least two and possibly three separate discussions. What we're going to talk about is the seventh yesod, the seventh principle, split into conceptually two halves. The first part was what we talked about a few weeks ago, was that which just empirically, Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah, Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy is above everyone else's. We see that Hashem spoke directly to Moshe Rabbeinu, and showed us that he spoke directly to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's the highest possible verification you could have of Moshe Rabbeinu's credentials, and therefore, just on an empirical level, that the proof that we have of Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy is incontrovertible and is incomparable to any other prophet who shows whatever he can demonstrate to try and indicate or prove that he's a prophet. That was the first part. And then the second part is then qualifying the differences in the madrega and the level of prophecy between Moshe's prophecy and everyone else's. So we spoke about, the last time we met, we spoke about the character of Moshe Rabbeinu, that his personal perfection, why that was an important part of his prophecy. And then the Rambam goes into four distinctions between the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu and all other Nevi'im and all other prophets. And I want to discuss now those four distinctions. However, this morning, we are only going to discuss two of them. Primarily, we're going to discuss just the first one. And then we're going to, so they're tied in, to skip to the third one. Just going to tie that in at the end. But so we're going to start with a little bit before, earlier in the Rambam, and we'll see and try and get an understanding of exactly what these distinctions are, what the significance of them are. So just before we read it inside, the first one that the Rambam discusses is that the Rambam says that all other prophets, when they received prophecy, it was via a malach, via an angel. Hashem sent an angel to deliver the prophecy to them. As opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy was without any angelic intermediary. So just before we begin, in the parsha that we had that we read yesterday, so a lot of almost all of the Rambam's distinctions are sourced from one paragraph, and the last one is from another verse in yesterday's parsha. But really, everything that he's talking about here is from the parsha that we laned yesterday. But so the first one is that Moshe Rabbeinu was not through a malach, not through an angel, and all of the other prophets were. Now, before we go any further, I want to point out that the other Rishonim actually argued with the Rambam on this point. The other Rishonim said that that's not true. There was no such thing as a true prophet does not receive prophecy through an angel. All prophets did not receive prophecy from an angel. They actually experienced Hashem directly. And the other Rishonim argued with the Rambam. The Ritva, Rabbi Grossman actually showed me this Maram Akum, the Ritva actually comes to defend the Rambam in a very interesting way. He starts out, the Ramban very vociferously attacks the Rambam in many, many different arguments against the Rambam. The Ritva comes to defend the Rambam, and he introduces his defense of the Rambam by saying, the Ramban is correct, Nachmanides is correct, the Rambam was not correcting. If to show the Rambam wasn't silly, the Rambam, you know, he didn't like make a mistake. He had a certain, you know, way of thinking that he thought, and I'm going to explain his approach, even though most certainly he's wrong, he's incorrect about this. The Baalei Kabbalah, the Kabbalistic Rishonim, they were correct. There's no angels involved in prophecy. But it's very interesting that the consensus, the accepted opinion amongst the major Rishonim was not like the Rambam. But so part of what I want to address here is the nature of the distinction here, the nature of what the Rambam what it means to the Rambam that there was an angel, and maybe to see that it's not really such a big argument that they're having. Conceptually, what the Rambam was conveying with this idea that it was Al Yedei Malach, that it was via an angel, is something that I think the other Rishonim really agree with, just in the exact way in which it's expressed, in the practical manifestation of it, that this idea that there was an angel involved, the other Rishonim disagree with. But so let's begin. The Rambam says...
But won't we make a distinction anyway, over and above this angel business?
What do you mean?
That Moshe Rabbeinu... I mean, you already said that Moshe Rabbeinu was awake during his nevuah.
So that's going to, that's one of the other one of the other four distinctions that he makes. The four distinctions that the Rambam makes are that Moshe Rabbeinu was directly from Hashem, not through an angel. Moshe Rabbeinu was, while he was awake, in full control of his his faculties. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he received his prophecy, he was completely unaffected by the prophecy, as opposed to all other prophets would be seized with trembling and fear and all kinds of physical reactions, and that Moshe Rabbeinu prophesied whenever he wanted, as opposed to the other Nevi'im, the other prophets. They only were able to achieve a certain point. They couldn't receive a prophecy whenever they decided to turn to Hashem. They certain preparation that they had to do, and even after all that preparation, maybe yes, maybe no, that they would receive prophecy. Those are the four distinctions that he makes. So
if I understand, there's no argument about the other three, just this one angel business.
Just this one point of the angels, which I think is more of a distinction in the practical manifestation of the idea behind it. The idea behind it is something that will hopefully explain the idea behind it, is something that the other Rishonim, I think, would agree to. So the Rambam, so before we get into the actual text of the four, so the Rambam, still in explaining, you know, what Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy was, right after what we saw in the previous time we met, where he says that Moshe Rabbeinu had achieved the level of Shleimus, a level of perfection, and he was like an angel. So the Rambam says, Lo nishar lefanov shum masach shelo kara'o. There did not remain before him any screen or any veil which he did not tear, velo atzar ba'ado shum ma'atzar gufni, and there was no physical obstacle that remained in front of him, velo nishar bo shum davar min hachisaron, there remained no lacking, no deficiency in him, lo ma'at velo harbe, not a little and not a lot, v'hoshavto bo hakochos hadimyonim mehushim, and his okay, well, we'll skip that. It's going to be difficult to explain. V'nishar seichel bilvad, and he remained a pure intellect. V'al inyan ze amru alav, shehu medaber im Hashem, beli emtzos hamelachim. And this concept is what the Chazal meant, the way the Rambam understands Chazal, what Chazal meant when they said that Moshe spoke to Hashem without the intermediary, without the medium of angels. Let's turn the page and we'll read a little bit further what he says. the Rambam goes off and says, to really explain, I mentioned this idea, the Rambam says, to really explain this would take me at least 100 pages, but we'll just, you know, give you the short summary here. So he says, V'achzor l'inyan yosod hazeh. Let's get back to the point here. Hashvi v'omer. Shenivuas Moshe Rabbeinu. The prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu nivdala mi nivuas kol shar nevim ba'arba havdilim. It's distinct with four distinctions. Ha'hevdel ha'rishon. The first one is shekol navi eze sheyeh. Every other navi, whatever his level of prophecy is, ein Hashem medaber ito ki im al yedei emtzai. Hashem does not speak to him except through an intermediary. U'moshe beli emtzai. And Moshe was without any intermediary. Kamosha Amar pe el pe adaber bo. I will speak to him face to face or mouth to mouth. Mouth to mouth. Skipping down to the third one, which I said is the other thing we're going to try and get to at the end. Va'hevdel hashlishi shanavi kasher balo hachazon va'af al pi shehu bemare va'al yedei malach. When any other prophet receives prophecy, even though it's through a vision and it's through the intermediary of an angel, even so, Yechalshu kochosav, his his faculties weaken, umiskalkel gufo, and his body trembles, quakes, vayered alav mora atzum, and an incredible awe and fear descends upon him, ki'ilu holech lamos, as if he's, you know, he's dying. Right, every other Navi has this incredible reaction. Moshe ain't okay. Moshe is not that way. Ela yavoehu adibor velo te'aro ilo chalchala klal. The Hashem's speech comes to him, and he doesn't have any trembling. Vehu amaris alev adiber Hashem el Moshe panim el panim, kasher yedaber ish el re'ehu. So the Torah says that Hashem says, I will speak to Moshe, or Hashem spoke to Moshe, face to face, like one person speaks to another. That you don't have when I speak to Corey. I have tremendous respect for Corey and everything, but you know, I'm not quaking in my little boots, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu, when he spoke to none of this physical reaction, says the Rambam, and we'll try and get back to this last line. And that was a result of the intensity of his connection to his seichel, to his intellectual level. So the first thing the Rambam says is this idea of the angels, and then the next one that we're looking at, the idea of the physical reaction. When the Rambam, just before we go any further, when the Rambam expressed the idea that in the very beginning that Moshe was not through an angel, the way he said it was, he first said this idea of a masach, of a screen. He said Moshe didn't have any, there was no screen that he did not tear, there was nothing interrupting, right? And he remained a seichel bilvad, and that's what they meant when they said that he didn't have any intermediary. So this idea of this screen, that all these screens that Moshe Rabbeinu, all these veils and interruptions that Moshe Rabbeinu broke through, that is the idea of the angel that Moshe Rabbeinu did not have. But the other, when we say that the other Nevi'im, the other prophets, had these angels, what the Rambam seems to mean by that is they had these veils, these interruptions, right? So we're going to see exactly the first thing, what exactly the idea of this masach, this screen, what that idea is. So the Rambam, in his introduction to Pirkei Avos, actually goes through exactly what he means by this. So you turn the page, the Rambam in the 7th chapter of his introduction to Pirkei Avos, the Rambam says, Harbe yimatze b'midrashos u'behagados. You find a lot in the Medrash and in the Agadata, Umehem gam b'Talmud. You find mention of this also in the Talmud. Sheyesh min ha-Nevi'im mi sheroa es Hashem me'achrei masachim merubim. There are some prophets who see Hashem behind many screens. Umehem mi sheroehu me'achrei masachim ma'atim. And there are some who see him behind a few screens. Lefi erech kirvasam lifnei aroma ma'atim. Level of their closeness to Hashem and the level of their prophecy. Ad sha'amru, to the point when they said, Shemosha Rabbeinu ra'a es Hashem me'achare mesech echad bahir kolomar shaku. That Moshe Rabbeinu saw Hashem behind or through one screen which was bright and translucent, which was clear. Vehu amram histakel Baklaria Hameira Einayim, that Moshe Rabbeinu saw through a bright lens, right? So the next thing Rambam goes through, that there are different that a prophet, in order to get prophecy, has to have the Ma'alos Hasichlios, has to have achieved, you know, the intellectual achievement, and then he has to have gotten most of his personality perfected. And the Rambam goes through, you know, there are different things that are negative traits. There's foolishness, and there's haughtiness, and there's anger, and there's stubbornness, and desire for money, and all kinds of those kinds of things. So the Rambam says, Umikol hamigraus halalu, all of these negative traits, Heim hamasachim hamavdilin bein ha'adam levein Hashem Yisala. Those are the screens which separate between a person and Hashem. Amar hanavi bebeora aseh ki im avonoseichem hayu mavdilim beinechem levein elokechem. The Navi, expressing this idea, said your sins are what divided, what separated between you and your God. Amar sheavonoseinu veheim haraos halalu, that our sins, which are these negative traits, Kemosha Hizkarnu. Hema Mesachim Hamavdilim Beinenu Uveino Yisala. Those are the Mesachim. Those are the screens which interrupt, which separate between us and Hashem. So the idea of these screens, the Rambam here says, is the goal of personal imperfection. Every point at which a person still has to work on himself is one layer of separation between us and Hashem. Now, let's actually turn the page first before we get back to what I wanted to the next step. The Rambam continues. Bekol mi shahaya bo mehem shte midos o shalosh she'enon memutzaos kamo shemar pagravib. Anyone who has one mida, one or two or three of these character traits, which are not balanced, as he explained in the fourth chapter, the Rambam says that everything is supposed to be in perfect balance. Omrim alav shu ra'as Hashem me'achri shnei masachim oshlosha. We say that he saw Hashem from behind two screens or three screens. Somebody has two unperfected character traits. We say he sees Hashem from behind two screens. Someone who has three, we say that he saw Hashem from behind three screens. The last paragraph we're going to come back to later. I actually numbered the pages this week so that when I skip back to a previous page, we'll all be able to find it. But so the Rambam explains the idea of the Mesech, of these Masachim. So I want to first ask a question. The Rambam, in the introduction that we started with, says that Moshe Rabbeinu, there remained before him no mesech, no screen which he had not torn, right? Lo nishar lefanav shum mesech shelo karo. There didn't remain anything which he did not break through. However, the Rambam that we just read in the introduction to Pirkei Avos says that ansh amru shem Moshe Rabbeinu ra'at Hashem me'achri mesech echad. Moshe Rabbeinu saw Hashem from behind one screen, which he said was bahir kolomar shakuf, which was translucent, which is clear and see-through. But it says there that there is one screen that remained. So, try and understand what that means, that there, the Rambam by us says there was nothing, and the Rambam in Pirkei Avos seems to say there was still something. So, the first thing to try to understand is that point. Now, I want to see one more thing. The way the Rambam expresses this idea of the angel in the Yad HaChazakah, in the Mishnah Torah, and one more point to raise from there, and then we'll get to answering the questions, to putting everything together. So the Rambam on the next page, in the bottom of the page, this is chapter 7 of Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah. There, here the Rambam recaps, so the Rambam speaks out again these four distinctions between Moshe Rabbeinu and all of the other prophets. He actually changes the order around a little bit, if I remember correctly, but or maybe not. Okay, in any case, so the Rambam says, yeah, he does change the order. But in any case, the Rambam in the second one here, so I started underlining, Kol Hanaviim Al Yedei Malach. All other Nevi'im, all other prophets saw Hashem, or received their nevuah through via an angel. Lefikach, therefore, roim amashim roim b'mashal v'chida. Therefore, they see their prophecy through a mashal, through a parable, v'chida, and some kind of riddle that has to be interpreted. Moshe Rabbeinu lo al yedei malach, but Moshe Rabbeinu was not through an angel. Sheneemar pe'el pe'adaber bo. V'ne'emar, and it says, V'diber Hashem el Moshe panim el panim, Hashem spoke to Moshe face to face, V'ne'emar utmunas Hashem yabit, that he saw, so to speak, the image of Hashem, She'ein sham mashal, there's no parable, El roe hadavar al burio, below chida u'below mashal, he would see the matter and understand the matter clearly without any parable, without any riddle that he has to interpret, because everything was just exactly the way it was. So, the one thing I wanted to bring out from here is the Rambam makes a logical dependency. The Rambam says that all other prophets saw, they saw with parables and riddles. Moshe Rabbeinu, he did not see through an angel, and therefore he saw everything clearly without the parables and riddles. So the Rambam makes this logical inference from the fact that it was through an angel, therefore it was there was this the riddle, the parable, and Moshe was not through an angel, and therefore there wasn't. To understand the last point, just to raise, that we want to hopefully clarify and appreciate is why that one leads to the other. Why those two points are connected. The fact that it was through an angel leads to the fact that it was with these parables and with these riddles and lack of clarity. So, I'm going to get back to the first question first. The first question that we asked was that the Rambam by us, said that Moshe Rabbeinu, there remained nothing in front of him. And the Rambam in Pirkei Avos said that there was this one last distinction. So the Rambam in a few places, and I brought two of them that we're going to see, and we'll get actually back at the very end, we'll go back to the third one, which is the part, the piece that we skipped back at the beginning. The Rambam in a couple places discusses when Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem after the Chita Egel, after the sin of the golden calf, Moshe Rabbeinu went back up the Har Sinai and he achieved forgiveness for the Jewish people. And then Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem for two requests. He asked him, Hodeini na Esther Achecha, and Hareini na Eskvodecha. He said, let me know your ways and show me your kavod, show me your glory, right? So the Rambam explains, what was this request? So we'll see in the Mor Nevochim, which is in the next page, what both of them were, but here he's more discussing. So the Rambam says, Mahu zeh shebikesh Moshe Rabbeinu lahasig, what was it that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to grasp? Kisha amar hareini na eskvodecha, when he said, show me your glory. Bikesh leida amitas himatzo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wanted to know, to appreciate the essence, the true nature of the existence of Hashem, ad sheyia yadua belibo, to the point that it would be known in his heart, meaning it would be known in his essence, kemo yediyas echad min ha'anashim, like knowing another person, Shara'a panav, that you've seen him, v'nechreka tzuraso belibo, and now you have his image, who he is kind of ingrained into you. Shanimta oso ish nifrad b'daitu mishara anashim. That person is now a distinct entity in your mind from everyone else. You recognize them, you know them, you see them, that's who they are. You now are able to identify them. Kach bikesh Moshe Rabbeinu lios mitzias HaKadosh Baruch Hu nifredes milibo mishar hanimtzayim. So too, Moshe Rabbeinu asked Hashem that the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be distinct in Moshe Rabbeinu's mind from all other existences, ad sheyeda amitas himatzo kasher hi, until he would appreciate God's existence for what it is. Heshivo Baruch Hu, and Hashem responded to him, she'ein koach bedas ha'adam hachai, shehu mechubar miguf v'nefesh, lahasig amitas davar ze alburio. That Hashem responded that it is beyond the ability, is beyond the capacity of a living being to grasp this matter to its completion. V'hodio Baruch Hu, masha lo yada adam lefanav lo yada la'achra. But Hashem granted Moshe Rabbeinu the understanding, the appreciation, more understanding of creation than anyone else. Or after himato, davar shenifred HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'daito mishar nimtzayim, to the point that he had a certain degree of grasping Hashem as being distinct. Kamoshi yifarid echad min ha'anashim shera achorav v'hisag kol gufo umalbusho b'daito mishar gufo ha'anashim, like if you see someone from behind, that now you have a certain idea of, you know, you've seen, so, you know, in human terms, you've seen their build, you've seen their, you know, their size, what they look like, maybe you've seen the way in which they dress, right? But you haven't seen their face. Va'al davar zeh rama zakasov va'amar v'ra'isa es achorai upanai lo yare'u. It says that, that the Hashem told Moshe in response, you can see my, I will show you my back, but you cannot see my face, right? Hashem doesn't have an actual back, an actual face. What he meant was, I can show you a lesser degree. I can't show you the direct, you know, front on appreciation of what God's existence is, but I can give you a certain idea of it that you can kind of have something to work with, but not the completion of what of exactly what he wanted. The Rambam and Martin of Oakham explain this. He says it much more succinctly, but it's maybe a little bit more clarifying for our purposes. The Rambam says, Da, ki Rabban shel Chachamim Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Shalom, bikesh shtei bakashos. Moshe Rabbeinu asked two requests. Uba'a lo hatshuva al shtei habakashos. And the and Hashem responded to both of them. Habakasha achas hi. The one request was, and the Rambam puts them, he'll point this out in a minute, that he says them out of order, but the one of them was, Shehu bikesh mimenu yis'ala sheyodiyu atzmo v'amitaso, that he wanted to understand, he wanted to know Hashem's essence. V'habakasha hashniya, v'hi asher bikesh t'chila, and the second request, which is what Moshe asked first, but he calls it second because it's somewhat of a lesser request, he sheyodiyu ta'arav, that he be allowed to know Hashem's descriptions, the Hashem's attributes, his characteristics. The Heshivu Yisale al Shtei Sheilos Bekach. And he responded to his two requests in this matter. Shehivticho Leohodio Kol Ta'arav, the Shehem Pe'ulosav. He promised Moshe to inform him of all of his attributes, which are his actions. The way that Hashem relates to the world, the way that Hashem interacts with the world, is that's his actions. The way that Hashem runs the world, that shows the midos, the attributes that Hashem wants to reveal to us. And we have to be very careful when we say this. This does not mean to say that those attributes are part of Hashem's essence. They are the faculties with which Hashem chose to interact with the world. But the Rambam, we've seen this before, the Rambam makes very clear that when you say that Hashem is, when you say a person is merciful, that means that that person by his nature is merciful. And you know what? If he wanted to be not merciful, he would have to overcome part of something that's a part of him to be not merciful. And vice versa with negative attributes. When we say that Hashem is merciful, that does not mean that Hashem is in his essence merciful. It means that Hashem chooses to act with the attribute of mercy. But there's nothing, it's not an intrinsic part of Hashem such that, you know, he can't help himself, he has to be merciful. That Hashem himself, we don't give description to. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted. Those are the two levels. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to understand Hashem's attributes, meaning the way in which he runs the world, his interaction with the world. And he wanted to understand the essence of Hashem's existence. So in the first one, to understand how Hashem relates to the world, Hashem told him, I'll show you that, and I'll show you Pu'losav, show you, she shows, you can show him all of his actions, because his actions, he, V'hodiyo ki'atzmuso lo tusag kafishahi. But he told him, he informed him, that Hashem's essence cannot be grasped as it is. Aval he'iro al makom mabat, but he showed him a certain perspective. Yasig mimenu tachlis masha efshar la'adam lahasigo. And from there he can grasp the pinnacle of what man is able to grasp. The asher hisig hu alav shalom, and that which he grasped, lo hesigo adam lafanav lalachra. No one before him and no one after him came to such a level.
Is mabat, the word mabat, is that related to matbeya, like a coin, or a...
It is not. The word matbeya has an ayin in the shoresh. The word mabat is related to the word hibit, or mabit, which means to look, to glance. A mabat means a way of looking at something. So mabat, I translate it as perspective, or point of view. But so the Rambam says that there are basically these two levels of what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to understand, one of which was God's essence, which Hashem told him that's beyond the capacity of a living being. And we'll see, we're going to go back to what we were discussing before, to one step further about that, but that is beyond your understanding. the world, I can show you, you know, the secrets of the world, how the world exists. So now, we're going to go back to page 4 and go back to the paragraph that we skipped. The Rambam in Pirkei Avos, in the piece that we learned before, has, after he explains this idea of the veils, the screens, so he says, and he said that Moshe Rabbeinu only had one screen, Ulafisha Yada Moshe Rabbeinu, since Moshe Rabbeinu understood, Shalom Nishar Lafan of Masach Shalok Harao, that there was no screen that he had not torn, Nishlamulan Vahamalos Hagyonios Kulan, that he had perfected every midah, he had perfected every personal trait, and he had perfected every aspect of intellectual achievement. Bikesh Hiyaseg as Hashem Kefi Amitas Mitziuso. He asked to understand Hashem according to the authentic nature of his existence, the reality of God's existence. Kevan Shalom Nishar Lo Shum Moneah. Since there's no block, there's no obstacle, there's nothing holding him back. So he wanted this ultimate understanding. Va'amar. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hareini na es kvodecha. Show me your kavod, show me your glory. Az hodio Hashem yisala. Then Hashem told him, Shezeh bilti efshari. That is impossible. Mikevan shehu seichel matzoi b'chomer. Because you are a seichel matzoi b'chomer. You exist in the physical world. Kilomar. Machmas heyoso adam, because you are an adam, because you are still a human being. Vehu amro, and this is what Hashem was responding to him, ki lo yareini ha'adam v'chai. A living being cannot see me and live. Velo nishar beino ubein hasagas Hashem yis'al kavi amitas mitzioso ela masach echad bahir. There only remained between him and the authentic nature of God's existence, one bright, clear screen, v'hu ha-seichel ha-anoshi she'enu nifrad, and that was the human intellect which cannot be separated. Meaning that at the end of the day, Moshe Rabbeinu, there was nothing blocking, there was nothing separating between him and Hashem, but there was one thing which was still there, which was the fact that at the end of the day, he still was a Bria, he still is a creation. And that verse that the Rambam quotes, Ki lo yareini ha'adam v'chai, that the simple reading of the verse is Ki lo yareini ha'adam v'chai. No man can see me and live. The Medrash says that the word v'chai does not mean and live. You read the verse, ki lo yareini ha'adam v'chai, that no man can see me and no chai can see me. And the Medrash says that chai refers to the angels, which are chayim l'olam, that they live eternally. Angels are not bound by, they're not physical existences, and therefore they live forever. Says that no man can see me and no chai can see me, no angel can see me. That Hashem's existence is intrinsically separated. An angel at the end of the day is still a creation. Even an angel, even the highest angels still say, I am makom kvodo, right? That they still say that, where is Hashem's lofty place? Because even the angels, the purely spiritual beings, can't entirely grasp the existence of Hashem, because at the end of the day, there is an insurmountable barrier distinction between being the creator, being the absolute existence, and being a creation. And therefore, at the end of the day, Moshe Rabbeinu is still a physical being. He still exists in the physical world. He's still a creation, and therefore, it's impossible for him to see Hashem within the physical world that he's in, within creation, to see God's existence and still be a creation. Kadmonim say that the verse says, "Hine ze omed me'achar koslenu, meitzitz mina charakim mashkiach mina chalonos." Verse in Shir Shirim that says, "Behold, ze this stands behind our walls through the crack, referring to Hashem. But so some of the Kadmonim explain the verse, somewhat homiletically. They say that Hine Zeh, they say, refers to Zeh Keli Von Vehu, the ability to point at it and say, this is God, right? The word Zeh, when it appears in the Torah, Medrash always understands it means physically pointing to something and saying, there it is, that's it. So Zeh, the grasp of Hashem of Zeh, saying, that's Him. That is Omed Achar Kaslenu. That stands behind our walls. Our walls is our the body, the fact that we are physical. That stands as a barrier between us and saying, that's Hashem. By Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rambam said he had one last masach, he had one last screen, and that is the fact that he was a creation, he was a physical being. Says the Rambam, it was a bright, translucent barrier, but it was there nonetheless, it still existed. There's two, in mathematics, in theoretical math, they acknowledge two distinct levels of infinity.
What?
Two levels of infinity. One, two orders of infinity. There is a lower level of infinity and a higher level of infinity. To go through the mathematical proof of it, I'm not going to bother doing, but just why I'm pointing this out, the infinities are referred to as the countable infinities and the uncountable infinities. I'll give you an example. The numbers that are, the whole numbers, how many whole numbers are there?
Infinite.
Now, if I would ask you, can you name them? So the answer is...
Exactly.
Do you have time? The answer is yes and no. Yeah, yes. I mean, theoretically, I could. I could tell you every one of them. I could list them. I could give you an equation which will tell you every whole number. But I don't have enough time to count them. It would take an infinite amount of time, and I just have things to do, right? So you can't, right? They're there in front of you. You could understand and figure. You could understand what they are, but to get your head around all of them, the quantity is simply too much, right? There's a higher level of infinity, which the first simplest proof of this, the talk about the number, the list of real numbers, rational and irrational numbers. If you wanted to list every rational and irrational number, there's no way to construct a list of them. There's no equation which will yield for you every rational and irrational number. You couldn't even go about counting them if you wanted to. Forget not having enough time to do it, but there's no way to map them. There's no way to chart. You can't construct a list in which it will account for every irrational number and every rational and irrational number.
Is that like a negative number?
What? No, irrational number is a number which cannot be expressed by a fraction, like pi. Pi is an irrational number. It's a number which is a decimal which has no pattern to it and never ends. Pi, the square root of 2, there's numbers that cannot be expressed by a fraction, right? So there's no way to, if a number can be expressed by a fraction, you can actually, even though the numerator and the denominator might be, changing, but you could still create a map in which you could, by going systematically through a list, you could get to every fraction. But irrational numbers, there's just no way to put them in order. There's no systematic, logical way to line them up. And therefore, it's not an issue of you don't have enough time to it's just too many of them to count. You don't even have the ability to begin counting them. That's the difference between the two infinities. One of them is a countable infinity, and one of them is an uncountable infinity. Lahavdil, very different level, that's the difference between the two perspectives of God. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to understand God's actions in this world. You know why we don't understand God, we don't understand the way God runs the world? There's just too much to it. There's too many details. There's too many factors at play. We have a whole list of why bad things happen to good people. Give lots of reasons why bad things happen to good people. But it's far too complex for us to figure why did that bad thing happen to that good person. You can never get your head around it. It's too complex. The world consists of there's too much detail in the world for the human mind to get around the sheer quantity of it. That's why a person can't understand the way God runs the world. But there's nothing inherently beyond your understanding about it. And therefore, God gave to Moshe Rabbeinu the pinnacle of understanding of how God runs the world. It's a quantity of information. It happens to be infinite. But it's within each unit is within his grasp. Okay, so hand that over to him. But the level two is the level, it's not just that it's too much. It's qualitatively beyond your understanding. There's no way to understand it. It's something you cannot get your head around, not because it's too vast of a body of information, but the nature of the information itself, the nature of the understanding itself, is something which is beyond human comprehension. And therefore, that's the being finite. You cannot understand the infinite. Being a creation, you cannot understand that which exists outside of creation. A person always exists within the framework of his experiences. That's why you can only imagine things, the Ramchal talks about this, you can only imagine things that you've experienced before. Even things you haven't actually experienced, you've never seen a dragon. But you've seen fire, and you've seen lizards, and you've seen wings, and you've seen claws, so you can put them together in your head, and there's a dragon. But something that you've never experienced anything like it, you can't even imagine. That's the way the human mind works. And the human mind has never experienced, never seen, never had a real experience of the infinite. There's no way to grasp it. I mean, maybe even if you could, which you can't, but it's beyond our understanding. And that was the last level of separation between Hashem and Moshe. That's the idea that a malach, because it was Ali Adei Malach, because it was through an angel, right? Each of these layers of separation, each of these midos, each of these imperfections, is one layer further of separation between me and Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu, his separation was only the fact that he was physical. And therefore, when it comes to what the Rambam is discussing in the Ikrim, in the introduction that we started with, the fact that he's physical, that doesn't interrupt between his intellectual understanding of God's existence. And when it comes to his nevuah, when it comes to his prophecy, the accurate conveying of the nature of God's existence, the information, he has it 100%. There's nothing blocking between him and that understanding. So therefore, says the Rambam, when it comes to his sikhli, his intellectual understanding of God, which enabled him to give the Torah as a pure, 100% clear conveying of God's ratzon, God's will, that there's nothing blocking between him. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu his Torah is qualitatively different than it's the pure, unadulterated, the intellectual conveying of Ratzon Hashem, as opposed to every other Navi, they had layers of interruption of their own midos, their own personal imperfections, and those personal imperfections, that's a layer of separation between them and Hashem. That's where an angel comes in. If you still have a physical self, if there's still a you, there's still an interruption of your own personality, which is not completely bottle, has not completely been gotten out of the way to experience the godly revelation. So that's a layer of separation, because that interrupts, that alters your perspective of the message that Hashem is sending. And therefore, each Navi who had some layer, some level of imperfection, that was a layer of difference between them and Hashem, which is what the Rambam expresses through an angel. Every layer of separation required an angel. That's your distance from Hashem to you, your nasij to you. Through that layer of separation, through that filter, which comes through your own personality, your own, so to speak, shortcoming of perfection. That's why the Rambam says that because it was al yedei malach, because it was through an angel, therefore it was a parable, a riddle. Because if you're using your physical kalim, your physical faculties to receive the divine message, you still have a physicality which is an interruption between you and God. So you interpret the divine message on a physical level, and therefore you need physical terms to interpret it. The divine message cannot come straight to you. It has to be interpreted through physical terms. We've got to translate it into terms you can relate to. That's where the parables and the reason you give a mashal to someone is you're trying to express something they can't fully grasp through something they can fully grasp. They can fully grasp is the physical world that they have an interaction with. They're receiving a message filtered through a physical system, so they need a physical interpretation, and you'll work out from there. You'll interpret it, you'll translate it back into the divine message. But because it was received through their physical faculties, it had to be received on physical terms with these interpretations. And therefore, that, I believe, is why the Rambam says, or not, the Rambam, that is concurrent with that which the Rambam says, that every other prophet, when they received Nevuah, their physical faculties, they trembled, they shook, they were in fear, as opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't. Because Moshe, the physical, is an inherent separation, it's a distinction between us and Hashem. The physical, it's incompatible with a spiritual revelation. And therefore, when they were receiving a Nevuah, a divine message through the physical reacts to that. It's repelled. It can't cope with that pure spiritual revelation. And therefore, there's a reaction. They shook, they trembled, they were in awe. Moshe Rabbeinu was not receiving a physical message. Moshe Rabbeinu did not use the filter of his own personality, of his own being. He was completely nullified in himself. He had perfected everything to the point where everything was just Ratzon Hashem. That was all he appreciated. And therefore, when he received the divine message, there was no physical reaction of his body, because his body was not an interruption. His body was not, there was no physicality to his physical. There was the fact that he was physical, that was still there. He could not call it emotionally, see in the world, you know, that God exists, but intellectually and I shouldn't say it that way, experientially, he could not experience that God was the oneness of God, that the essence of God's existence, but emotionally and intellectually, he was there. The Moshe Rabbeinu, therefore, the physical was not an interruption for him, and therefore there was no physical reaction of his physical senses to this, to these experiences, because the physical was completely purified by him. It was completely turned into a something which did not interrupt, which was clear and was no longer barrier. It was not even present when Moshe Rabbeinu received a Nevuah, because he had perfected himself to the point where that was the totality of his experience, was through his seichel, and his body did not constitute any interruption, did not constitute any barrier between him and the Ratzon Hashem. Is there any loose ends that we did not
cover? Can a regular person become Moshe Rabbeinu?
No. That is the...
He's the one and only?
That's what the Torah says, Lo kam od navi b'Yisrael kamoshe. The Rambam says that there's no one before Moshe and no one after him who can ever achieve the level that Moshe Rabbeinu achieved. We spoke about that a little bit in our last class when we talked about the Meshech Chachma, who discusses that Moshe Rabbeinu, even though he had achieved this level of personal perfection, at the end of the day, he still has, you know, he still would have free will. The fact that as almost a reward or a gift, was that after he had reached this Madrega, that Hashem removed the faculty of free will from him, that he outgrew free will to the point where everything was like a given to him, that he was going to do Ratzon Hashem, and then Hashem actually removed the faculty of free will from him. So even a person who achieves the level of... It's impossible for a person to achieve that level of Moshe Rabbeinu, but even if someone did, Moshe Rabbeinu was, at that point, qualitatively removed from... is what we would call normal human existence.
So what about Muhammad? He's the honest.